good.
Om sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahavidyan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim chaiva tato jayamudirayet. Very good. Welcome back. We continue in this early part of the 12th book, the Shanti Parva, where Yudhishthira is engaged in a really fascinating discussion with Vyasa. Yudhishthira, as you remember from the prior class, is guilt-ridden. He feels personally responsible for the death of countless warriors on that battlefield. He feels personally responsible, especially for the death of Bhishma, his beloved granduncle, grew up in Bhishma's lap, and Drona. Drona was his guru. And Yudhishthira is personally involved in a plot that resulted in the death of his own guru. Remember the Ashwatthama story, which we'll not repeat. So he is absolutely guilt-ridden to the point of he wants to perform, we saw at the end of the last class, he wants to perform prayopavesha. This is a technical term, prayopavesha, prayopavesha, which means it's where you basically stop eating and drinking and allow your body to fall. It's a form of religious suicide, and it is suicide. Don't have any doubts about it. Except when, if somebody is terminal and at the end of their life, that may not be considered suicide in that situation. But Yudhishthira is young and healthy, and he is ready to, as a form of prayaschitta, expiation, he is ready to do this prayopavesha. And he says all this to Vyasa, who he reveres as his great rishi. And Vyasa's response is, well, let's see. That's a good place to jump back in. We just began this verse, and this is where we get Vyasa's response. Vyasovacha, Vyasovacha, Ativelam Maharaja, Ativelam Maha. Na shokam kartum arhasi, na shokam punaruktam pravakshyami, punaruktam pravak. Dishtam hetariti prabho, dishtam hetariti. Maharaja, O great king, Vyasa addresses Yudhishthira. Na ativelam shokam kartum arhasi. Na kartum arhasi. You should not do this what? Ativelam shokam. You should not merely you should not be sad. We've discussed that on a number of classes. So to say to someone, don't be sad, is not helpful for all the reasons we've discussed before. But that's not at all what Vyasa is saying. Ativelam shokam, this excessive sadness. To be sad is one thing. To be sad to the point of wanting to take your own life is something quite different. So this is ativelam. Ativelam, what is the modern expression? Over the top. So ativelam shokam is over the top shoka, sorrow, sadness, grief. And clearly Yudhishthira's sadness is of that type. Vyasa says you shouldn't have this over the top shoka. Why? He says, Pravakshyami, I will tell you, punaha, again, uktam, what was said. I will tell you again what was said. What was said, and what was said was dishtam etat iti prabho. Prabho, o master, dishtam etat. Etat, all this, meaning the entire war and all the incidents that took place during the 18 days of war. He says, all of this was dishtam. Dishtam is one of these words that really gets misinterpreted. And we've had this discussion on several occasions when we've talked about the doctrine of karma. So some people will see the word dishtam and interpret it to mean ordained, preordained. But we've discussed quite extensively how the doctrine of karma is not a doctrine of preordination. Nothing is preordained. Nothing. What is a fact is certain karmas will fructify in this life. The good karmas that fructify in this life will help you. The bad karmas that fructify in this life will obstruct what you want to do. But those karmas don't necessarily lead to particular events in your life. There are no particular events that are predetermined by the karmas with which you're born. Rather, the karmas will either aid you or obstruct you in whatever you're trying to accomplish in life. So since karma can only aid or obstruct you, nothing's predetermined. You always have free will. We've had this discussion in great length, so I don't want to spend too much time on it here. So the word dishtam cannot possibly mean preordained. In that sense. Then what? As we've understood, this is actually the third time we're getting the doctrine of karma. So we've had this discussion first back in chapter 3 when they were all in the forest. And remember when Yudhishthira and Draupadi got into this big argument about karma? And remember we found out that Draupadi as a child had the opportunity to sit on her father's lap and learn the doctrine of karma from a great rishi. So anyway, this was the first time we got the doctrine of karma. Then the second time, I think in chapter 5, we have Sri Krishna giving the same analysis of the doctrine of karma to Arjuna. And so now, you know, first Yudhishthira and Draupadi, second was Sri Krishna. Now the third time, we're getting it from Vyasa himself. And we will see that the word dishtam here refers to karma. So when he says, etat dishtam, everything that happened in this war is due to karma. Dishtam means, if you want to translate it as ordained, which is a common translation, ordained by what? Not ordained by fate. Ordained by karma, but karma not as that which preordains particular events. So the doctrine of karma is a little subtle, so we have to understand it properly, which is what we'll do. I'll just remind you of the metaphor we used in the last class to understand Yudhishthira's relationship to the war in the light of the karma that unfolded. And it's complicated, but it's nicely illustrated by that story I told. Remember, I told you the story of a kid in his backyard of his parents' home. And on the side of the house is this rickety old fence. And his boy is playing. And at some point, he puts his hand on the fence and leans against the fence. At which point, the entire fence, 20 feet of fence, falls over like dominoes. It just goes down one by one by one. Each part of the fence crashes to the ground. And this boy, of course, is aghast. Oh my God, what did I do? And he feels 100% responsible for that fence going down. Now, was he responsible? Not 100%. Was he involved? Absolutely. But was he 100% responsible? Of course not. This is exactly Yudhishthira's role in the war. Was he involved? Yes. In fact, without his involvement, maybe the war wouldn't have taken, not maybe. Without Yudhishthira, would the war have taken place? Why? No dice game. No dice game means no war. So absolutely, Yudhishthira is the key player, a key player without whom this terrible war would never have taken place. Would that fence have fallen down today without the kid? No. And notice I said today. Eventually it'll fall over. But so this boy was instrumental in bringing down the fence, but he certainly wasn't 100% responsible, in the same way Yudhishthira was certainly instrumental in bringing about the war, but you cannot say he is 100% responsible. Why? Etat dishtam. Vyasa says whatever has happened according to karma. And then he explains a little bit. Vyasa is going to give a simple explanation followed by a more elaborate explanation. So this is the simpler explanation where he says, very nice poetry here. Sam yoga priya yogascha, sam yoga vipra yogascha, jata nam praninam dhruvam, jata nam praninam. Buddha hivato yeshu, buddha hivat bhavanti na bhavanti cha, bhavanti cha. Just really lovely. He says, in a second line, praninam, for living beings, jatanam, who continue to live, for all living beings, dhruvam, certainly, what is certain? Samyogaha, the coming together, the joining, and viprayogaha, the separation. So samyogaha, the union, and viprayogaha, the separation of jatanam, praninam, of all living beings is dhruvam, certain. So Yudhishthira at this point is grieving the viprayoga, the separation from Bhishma and Drona and so many of his loved ones. Yes, Bhishma is not quite dead yet, as some of you will recall, but he is on the edge of death, on the precipice of death. And Vyasa gives this wonderful metaphor, buddhaha iva toyeshu. Toyeshu, in the water. Buddha. That word sounds so nice, doesn't it? It sounds like what it means. Bubble. Buddha. In fact, look at the... there are certain words which actually come from phonetics, like bang. bang is a word that is meant to represent. So the English word bubble, ba-ba, right? Ba-ba. And here, bud-bud. Same thing. Ba-ba, bud-bud. So this is just talking about the phonetic origin of certain words. Most words are not like that, but a few words are like that. Crash, etc. So buddhaha eva, they're like bubbles in the water that bhavanti, that exist, and then na bhavanti, then they don't exist. So just as these bubbles in water come and go, so too all the people in our lives come and go. Then he gives one more nice explanation. He says, supriyar viprayogascha samprayogastatha priyaihi Artha Narto Sukham Dukham. Artha Narto Sukham. Vidhanam Anuvartate. Vidhanam Anuvartate. Vidhanam Anuvartate. This follow. Vidhanam is like dishtam, like vidhi. These are all the words that are misunderstood if we don't understand the doctrine of karma. So vidhanam is that which is established. Established by whom? If it's established by Ishvara, if everything that's going to happen in life is established by Ishvara, then you have no free will, right? Follow the logic. We've been through this before, but briefly. If everything is established by fate or by Ishvara, then you have no free will. If you have no free will, you don't commit any karma. If you don't commit any karma, how do we understand you're getting born? Since we're born due to karma. What I'm demonstrating here is that the entire doctrine of karma is predicated on free will. If there's no free will, there's no doctrine of karma. There's no such thing as a doctrine of karma in the absence of free will. So vidhanam here cannot possibly suggest the absence of free will. It certainly is referring to the presence of karma, that which is established by karma. Vidhanam anuvartate. Everything happens according to vidhanam, according to karma. Now please note, we just said that it is not that particular events are determined by karma, but rather that good karmas will aid you in reaching your goals. The papa karmas will obstruct you in reaching your goals. So let's be very clear, karmas do not predestine particular events in life. With that in mind, whatever happens in life, vidhanam anuvartate, happens according to karma. What happens according to karma? Now back to the top. What happens according to karma is supriyaihi viprayogaha. Viprayogaha, separation, from whom? Supriyaihi, those we love most. Separation from those we love most, and he was very nice play of words here. Samprayogaha. So you're thinking if viprayoga, separation is something we don't like, and we want samprayoga, we want union. But then he points out samprayoga, union with apriyahi, those that you don't like. Union is not such a good thing all the time. So to be in a state of union with an angry boss or angry mother-in-law is not so good. So, but he says that these are guaranteed by the laws of karma. According to the laws of karma, we are guaranteed to lose loved ones. We are guaranteed to get stuck with angry bosses and mothers-in-law. Guaranteed. Notice what's guaranteed is sooner or later it will happen to someone. It doesn't mean that a particular person or event is determined in our life. So we've said that too many times. So not only these are guaranteed, that we will lose our loved ones and we'll get stuck with difficult people. Also, what else is guaranteed? Artha and anartha. You can translate in various ways. How about wealth and loss? Is a good translation in this context. Sukham and dukham are guaranteed. Pleasure and suffering are guaranteed. All of this, vidhanam anuvartate, all of this is guaranteed by karma. Why is it guaranteed? Each and every one of us are born with a combination of both punya and papa karmas from our past lives. We've been through this several times, just to see it very briefly here. We know this without any doubt because if you were born with only punya karmas, you'd have a perfect life. Do you have a perfect life? So definitely you weren't born with only punya karmas. If you were born with only papa karmas, nothing in your life would ever have gone right. Everything would just be disaster, catastrophe, and suffering. That doesn't describe your life. So we know from this analysis, this life is not the result of papa karma alone, nor punya karma alone, but rather it's a mixture of punya and papa karma for each and every one of us. The punya karmas, and this is a statement to remember, the punya karmas we're born with guarantee that wonderful things will happen to us in life that we don't deserve based on our actions in this life. Similarly, the papa karmas with which we're born guarantee that we will all undergo suffering, again, that we don't deserve based on our actions in this life. Okay, we've seen this before, so we've made that very brief. So this is Vyasa's very brief description. Obviously, it's not a very detailed analysis of the doctrine of karma, so Yudhishthira is not quite satisfied, as we'll see. Yudhishthira vacha, Yudhishthira. Maya hyavadhyā bahavo, maya hyavadhyā. Ghatita raja karanat, ghatita raja ka. Tanya karyani me brahman, tanya karyani te. Dahanti chat tapanti cha, dahanti chat. Bahavaha avadhyaha. You have to break the words he and avadhya. Bahavaha, many, avadhyaha, many who should not have been killed, maya ghatitaha, ghatitaha, were killed. So avadhyaha, those who should not be killed, were ghatitaha, were killed, maya, by me, Yudhishthira says. By the way, does Yudhishthira know the lifespan of every person who fell on the battlefield? He doesn't know. So he says that they are avadhyaha. They were not supposed to die. How does he know? He doesn't know. So he has made a wrong assumption here that they are avadhya. Perhaps according to karma, this was a time that they were going to lose their lives. So he makes an assumption here. Bahavaha avadhyaha. Many, many warriors who were avadhyaha, who should not have died, who should not have been killed, were ghatitaha, were killed, maya, by me. Why? Raja karanat. Because of this drive to regain the kingdom for the sake of the kingdom. Brahman, O Vyasa, O Brahmana, Tani Akaryani, those Akaryani, those deeds which should not have been done, Akaryani, means what? Those sinful deeds. Tani Akaryani, those sinful deeds, what sinful deeds? Killing all those warriors. So those sinful deeds may of mine, all those sinful deeds of mine committed on the battlefield, dahanti, they burn. Tapanticha, and also means burn. Just two words that actually mean burn. They burn, they afflict me. They burn me, they afflict me. So in these words, it appears that Vyasa's brief description of the doctrine of karma, where he says that etad dishtam, everything that's happened here in this battle, is a result of karma. So Yudhishthira hasn't gotten it yet, right? Because he still blames himself. Maya ghatitaha, they were killed by me. Now, Vyasa is going to use this opportunity to plunge into a very, I think, brilliant and precise analysis of four possibilities. So with this question, it becomes clear that Yudhishthira still holds himself 100% responsible, like that child who pushed down the fence holds himself 100% responsible incorrectly. In the same way, Yudhishthira holds himself 100% responsible, and now Vyasa is going to correct his understanding with this analysis of the doctrine of karma. You like this. It's different from anything we've seen, and it's very clear, I think. Vyasuvacha Vyasuv Ishvaro va bhavet karta Ishvar Purusho vapi bharata Purusho vya Hato va vartate loke Hato va vart Karmajam vapalam smritam Karmajam. Here we go. You'll like this. He says there are four possibilities. Vyasa is going to really make sure that this is understood with perfect clarity by Yudhishthira. And he identifies there are four possibilities. What are the four possibilities? Ishvaraha bhavet karta. Ishvara might be bhavet, might be karta, the agent of everything. Everything, one of four possibilities is everything happens as Ishvara ordains, as Ishvara establishes. So Ishvara's will was that all of us should come for class today. You didn't decide. I didn't decide. Ishvara decided this morning. Ishvara decided that you're going to wake up. First of all, you didn't even decide to get out of bed. Ishvara decided you're going to get out of bed. Ishvara decided you're going to have breakfast. Ishvara decided you're going to come here. So this is option one. Option two. Purushaha va api bharata. Bharata o Yudhishthira. The second option, va or api also. The second option is purushaha, and you have to connect it to the word karta. The person made the decision. Your free will determines everything. Your free will is omnipotent. You can do anything you want. Because you have free will, who is going to stop you? Whatever you want, you can do that. This is omnipotent free will, limitless free will, unrestrained free will is option two. Option three, hataha va vartate loke, or vartate loke, what happens in the world, could be va, or it could be hataha, random, by chance. We saw this possibility before when we discussed Yudhishthira and Draupadi's discussion on the doctrine of karma. So everything could be random. Which means it's a random accident that you're sitting here and I'm sitting here. Just random. So every day you get up and you behave in a random way. Every morning I wake up, I behave in a random way. Today your randomness led you here and my randomness led me here. So this is hataha, this is all random. And what is the fourth case? Karmajam va va or smritam. It can be understood in this way, that what's happening is karmajam palam, is the pala, the fruits, which is karmajam, due to a past karma. So these are the four possibilities. And with regard to the war now, so the four possibilities is that Ishvara determined that there will be this terrible war and so much loss of life, or Purusha, in particular, Yudhishthira caused the war. In fact, let's put it like that. Who whose, you know, that in that child's language, whose fault is it? We always want to point that finger of blame. Who shall we blame for the Mahabharata war? Shall we blame Ishvara? It's Ishvara's fault. That's option one. Shall we blame Yudhishthira? That's option two. Purusha person, in this case, Yudhishthira. Or shall we blame Hata? Chance? Is just I don't know. How can you say it? Just chance. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see his response. Or Karmajam Palam. Already, it's pretty obvious which of these are most reasonable. But Vyasa is going to treat each one of these four in sequence. So, first one, Ishvara. Why is Ishvara not to blame for the war? Ishvarena niyukta hi, Ishvarena niyukta sadva sadhu cha partiva, sadva sadhu cha kurvanti purusha karma, purvanti purusha palam ishvara gamitata, palam ishvara gamitata. Start in the third line. If purushaha kurvanti, if people do karma, if people act, purushaha, people, kurvanti, act, karma, do, act, do karma. If people do karma, now jump up to the second line. What kind of karmas do they do? Sadhu, good karmas, and asadhu, not so good karmas. Partiva, O king. Vyasa addresses Yudhishthira. So if people do good and bad karmas, first line is key. Niyuktaha, because they are enjoined by or impelled Ishvarena by Ishvara. If people act according to Ishvara's will. That was our first option, right? You got out of bed this morning and came here. Not because it was your decision. Ishvara had decided. Ishvara has already planned out your day for you. You don't have to worry about it. And same for me. So that's what's being said here, is that if Ishvara is the one who impels all of our actions and decisions, therefore, so purushaha karma kurvanti, people act Ishvarena niyuktaha, as impelled by Ishvara, as Ishvara wills us to act. If that were the case, Vyasa draws a conclusion, then palam, tat palam, then the fruits of the actions done by all people, he says, Ishvara gami, the fruits of the actions would go to Ishvara. If Ishvara makes you do a good deed, who should get the pala? Ishvara. If Ishvara makes you do a papa karma, who should get the pala? Ishvara. That doesn't make any sense. You know, this is an understanding in which we are wrongly understood to be instruments in the hands of Ishvara. Ishvara is in control, and we are the instruments. If that were true, the pala would definitely go to Ishvara. Puja Swami Dayananda loved this example. An instrument is like when you use a spoon to eat ice cream, who gets to enjoy the ice cream? So the spoon is just an instrument. The spoon doesn't get anything out of the ice cream. You enjoy the ice cream. Or a more traditional example of this, when you hire a priest to do a ritual for you, does the priest get the blessings? Right? So you are niyukta. The priest is niyukta, enjoined, impelled by you. since you have caused the priest to do this ritual, you will receive the fruits, the pala of that ritual. So this idea of thinking that you're just an instrument is silly. And then he gives his own example. And I've given you the spoon example and the priest example. Now he's going, Vyasa will give you the axe example. What is that? Yatha hi purushas chindyat, yatha hi purushas vriksham parashunavane, vriksham parashunavane. Cheturava bhavet papam, cheturava parashor nakatanchana, parashor. It says, yatha, just as, purushaha, a person, chindyat, might cut. So suppose a person were to cut. Cut what? Vriksham, a tree. Vane, in the forest. Suppose a person were to cut a tree in a forest, how? Parashuna, with a parashu, with an axe. So if a person cuts a tree with an axe, what is it that actually cuts the tree? Is the axe, right? You don't cut the tree with your hand. The axe cuts the tree. So the argument goes, argument one, goes that since the axe cut the tree, the axe should be responsible for the felling of the tree. A little silly. So he says in the second half, chetuhu eva bhaved papam. He says, papam, the fruits of that action, bhaved, would definitely be chetuhu for the person who wields the axe, the cutter. And parashoho nakatanchana, nakatanchana, and not at all parashoho for the axe. So the fruits of that action will not go to the axe. The axe is just an instrument, like that spoon, like the priest, and the fruits will go to the person wielding the axe and not to the axe. So this completely removes any possibility of Ishvara being the master puppeteer, right? That's, some people think that. Ishvara is the master puppeteer causing us to do everything we do. Well, if Ishvara were causing us to do that, all our good actions, the punya would go to Ishvara, all of our bad actions, the pala would go to Ishvara. That's absurd, so it doesn't work. By the way, just a quick note here. The example given is going to the forest and unnecessarily cutting down a tree. Notice that Vyasa called that papam. Interesting. There was this awareness of the sanctity of the environment, in even in ancient times. If you need to chop down a tree for wood or to build a house or to make a fire, that's different. But just to unnecessarily cut down a tree in a forest here is called papam. That kind of relationship was there with the environment. So option one is out. Ishvara is not the master puppeteer. So if Ishvara is not the master puppeteer, we're in charge. Right? We can do anything. We have free will. We can do anything. Well, that's option two. Let's see what is Vyasa's response to option two.
Atava purusha karmano shubha papayoho karmano shubha bhap naparam vidyate tasmat naparam vidyate evam hanyat shubham kuru, evam hanyat So, atava, or, if the purushaha, if the person is the karta, means the one who's in control. Ishvara is not pulling our strings, we are. We are in control of everything, according to option two. So, if
the person is the karta, is the independent agent, karmanoho, of deeds, shubha and papa. Shubha, papa, yoho, these are dual in number. So if a person is the individual, independent agent of good and bad actions, in the third line, tasmat, then na param vidyate. Then there would be nothing beyond us. If our free will were limitless and we could do anything, there are two ways of understanding this. One way would be if our free will were stronger than the laws of nature. A silly example I've given several times before, we should flap our arms hard enough so we can fly like a bird. It's not going to happen, ever. But if Purushaha Karta, if you are the agent of action, if your free will has no boundary or limit, then you should be able to even go contrary to the laws of nature. Laws of nature are whose laws? Ishvara's laws. So this naparam vidyate, if you were all powerful, there is no Ishvara, because you would be able to triumph over any of Ishvara's laws. So Ishvara could not. If you're all powerful, how can Ishvara be all powerful? You would be more powerful than Ishvara. There's another interpretation here, and that is, we observe that for our good actions, we receive good results, and we observe that for our harmful actions, we receive undesirable results. We observe that. Those results are given by whom? Ishvara. We say laws of karma, but then laws of karma are whose laws? Ishvara, we've discussed several times, Ishvara is karma pala data. Well, if we observe good and bad results coming to us, doesn't that imply Ishvara? And if there were no Ishvara, it means we wouldn't get good results for our good actions. Well, look at the logic. If there were no Ishvara, then you wouldn't get good results for your good actions, and you wouldn't get undesirable results for your harmful actions. Means what? Evam anyat shubham kuru. Then you can go ahead and do whatever you want. Anyat shubham, whatever you think is best, kuru. Go ahead and do that. What difference does it make? You're not going to get good results for your good actions because there's no Ishvara as karma paladatta. You're not going to get undesirable results from your bad actions because there's no Ishvara as karma paladatta. So you can do anything. But we see it doesn't. The point is, it doesn't work like that. This verse, by the way, is using a principle of logic. Reductio ex absurdum. Not ex, I forget what it is. So reducing something to the absurd. You take a point, and then you take a principle, and then develop it, and then show how the consequences of accepting that point lead to absurdity. And that's what he's doing here. If you accept that you are in charge of anything and everything that happens in your life, it leads to absurdity. If you're in charge of everything in your life, he doesn't give this example, but if you're in charge of everything that happens to you in your life, then why do so many terrible things happen to you? What's wrong with you? And just to show how absurd it is. So yes, we have free will, absolutely, but that free will operates within the context of Ishvara's order. Got it? We have free will, But it's not limitless free will. It's a free will that functions within Ishvara's order. Therefore, purusha na karta. Therefore, you are not the sovereign agent of what happens in your life. Ishvara is not the number one. Ishvara is not the sovereign agent of what happens in your life. Option two, you are not the sovereign agent of what happens in your life. Or in the context of Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira cannot blame Ishvara for the war, nor can Yudhishthira blame himself for the war. What is option three? Chance, randomness.
Yadi va manyase rajan, yadi va manyase hate lokam pratishtitam, hate lokam pratishtitam, evam apyashubham karma, evam apyashubham nabhutam nabhavishyati, nabhutam.
Yadi va, or if, Rajan, O king, manyase, if you think, lokam pratishtatam, everything that happens, lokam in the world, pratishtatam is established, is ruled, hate, by chance. If you think everything that happens in the world happens according to chance, happens randomly. We made fun of that, so my random behavior this morning led me to sit here. Your random behavior led you to sit there. And so he points out the obvious. Evam api, if this were true, then this ashubham karma, this terrible karma, referring to the war, this terrible war, nabhutam, would not have taken place. Na bhavishyati, nor could it possibly take place in the future, because there were so many factors that led to this war. Not just one or two, but the war had its roots in, you know, childhood animosity between the Kauravas and Pandavas. The war had its roots in Bhishma's vow to his father to support who's ever king. The war had its roots in Drona's troubles, in every character, in Yudhishthira's weakness for gambling. So there were countless factors because of which the war had taken place, and in the absence of any of those factors, the war would not have taken place. Clearly, the war unfolded for many reasons. Reason is the opposite of random. Things happen for a reason. Things do not happen randomly. So Vyasa says, points out the obvious, if everything were random, then this war would never have taken place, nor could it possibly take place. Which means there's only one option left. What is that?
Atapi loke karmani, atapi loke karmani, samavartanta bharata, samavartanta bharata, shubha shubapalam cheme, shubha shubapalam cheme, prapnuvanti ti me matihi, prapnuvanti ti me matihi.
Atapi, but then, loke, in the world, karmani samavartanti, actions, karmani, actions, loke, in the world, samavartanta, they have given rise to shubha and ashubha palam, good and bad karma. So what he's saying here is now he's come to the fourth option. What is the fourth option? That is the results of actions we've committed in the past. Samavartanta is in the past tense. So the results of actions we've done in the past, those karmani, those actions, loke, in the world, they give rise to shubha and ashubha phalam, desirable and undesirable fruits that fructify here and now. Even though the karmas were done before in prior lives or earlier in this life, we get the results only now. Sometimes those results are shubha. Sometimes if it's a shubha karma, you get a shubha palam, desirable. If it is an ashubha karma, you get ashubha palam, undesirable. And those are the factors that affect us here in this life. Those are the factors which cumulatively led to the war. We could say, in contrast to the prior verse, that the war was the result of the collective karmas of all the people involved. War cannot be the result of one person. A massive war. Here's a good example. You know, I've given this example of World War II several times. Hitler was not to blame for World War II. They, what? What is Swamiji saying? Hitler is not to blame. That's what Vyasa said. He said, Purusha na karta. So according to Vyasa, don't blame me. Even Vyasa is saying Hitler is not responsible for World War II. If you study history, you'll know that to be true. Was Hitler a key instrument? Absolutely. Without Hitler, there would have been no World War II. Without that kid, the fence wouldn't have fallen over. But Hitler was the instrument and not the ultimate cause. What was the ultimate cause for World War II? Karma. Study history. You'll find that World War II is the papa karma left over from World War I. You study history, you'll see that. That the way World War I was concluded, the armistice, was of such a nature that the seeds for World War II were planted by the peace that was established at the end of World War I. Not only that, but there are all kinds of other factors. Just to illustrate karma. So Hitler was a crazy man. How could the people, understand this, that the people of Germany were mostly cultured, intelligent people like you and me. How do cultured, intelligent people like you and me support someone like fill in the blank? So, fill it in any way you want. So here, in the context of Hitler's Germany, how do cultured and Christian, they were Christian people, how do cultured Christian people support this crazy man? Believe it or not, one of the main factors, you'd be surprised, one of the main factors was the collapse of the American stock market in 1929, which led to global economic meltdown, not just here. Germany's economy got so bad, people were desperate. What do desperate people do? Desperate things. Another factor. What did desperate Americans do in the last election? Desperate people do desperate things. This is just to illustrate the fact that you cannot blame one person like Hitler for that war. It's a confluence of so many factors brought about by innumerable persons' individual karmas. And that's what Vyasa is saying here. He says in the next sentence, or three sentences here, cha and ime prapnuvanti. Ime, these warriors who are lying dead on the battlefield, ime, these warriors lying dead on the battlefield, what about them? Prapnuvanti, they acquired their own ashubha karmas. It was the karma of each of those warriors to perish in this battle, the collective karma, just as the collective karma of all Germans was to enter into World War II, desperate people doing desperate things, in the same way it was true for the warriors who perished on the battlefield. Ime, all of these warriors, prapnuvanti, received their own karma. Iti me matihi, this is my opinion. Option four. Option one was rejected. Ishvara is not the master puppeteer. And Ishvara is not the sovereign master of the world. Or as you've heard me say before, Ishvara is not a micromanager. It's a nice way of understanding it. Option two. You are not in control. Ishvara is not in control, nor are you. You may try to be a micromanager. By the way, if you try to micromanage, does it work? It doesn't work. We're not in control. Our control over our lives and our situations is partial. We do have free will, but that free will is limited. It is constrained by Ishvara's laws. So option two is out. Ishvara is not sovereign. You are not sovereign is option two. Chance is out is just ridiculous. So what option is left? Whatever happens here is due to your instrumentality coupled with your karma. Or another way of saying that, if we say everything is due to karma, but watch this. This is just a final point for today's class. Suppose someone says everything happens according to karma. It's true if you understand it properly. Because the karmas you commit here and now count. The karmas you've committed in past lives count. The outcome of a situation here and now is the result of both factors. The karmas you commit now count, and the karmas you've committed in past lives, which are fructifying now, also count. You might remember that crossing the river example. That's basically what we've come back to. Whatever unfolds here is a result of these two major factors, your willful effort plus the fructification of past karmas. So here we have Vyasa's unfoldment of the doctrine of karma. So this is the third time after getting the doctrine of karma from Yudhishthira and Draupadi, and then after getting it from Sri Krishna, now we've seen it from Vyasa. And we're going to see that Yudhishthira is still struggling. We'll see why he struggles. We'll see that in our next class. Brief announcement. Tomorrow, our teen class will not meet because of the Thanksgiving weekend, but we will have our satsang tomorrow, 6:15 question-answer satsang I'll conduct. Library will be open after class. We'll conclude with our prayers.